Well, hello there, family. I want to welcome you to the Real McCoy Show with your host and coach, Coach Anna McCoy. I'm excited about this message that you're going to hear about today. I had an opportunity to spend some time with some friends on my book tour in a ministry, Faith Center Ministries in Walnut, California, with Pastor Donald Gridiron and Sister G. Listen, you're going to be so blessed by this message because I want you to hear how I've been able to apply the concept of branding to our walk with Christ as believers. So listen carefully. Even though you can read the book and you can understand everything there is to know about branding, listen to this message and see what brand are you representing. So God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you on next Thursday. I want to encourage you, if you're in the Dallas area, we have a meeting on tomorrow night. Check the website at www.womanactnow.com to get more information on how you can participate in that meeting where we're talking about knowing yourself. So I look forward to seeing you, and God bless you, but enjoy this message and determine what brand are you representing, because in this season, in this time, you need to be your very best.
Woman Act Now. You heard the organization Woman Act Now. Yes. Learn, launch, and live your dream.
Yes.
But before I start, I want to remind you who you are. If
yes.
You'll go to 139, Psalms 139, you give me just a little bit of soft music on the keyboard. Yeah, where you going? All right. He's like, whoa, okay. That's what happens to my sweetheart, too. Whoa. Psalms 139. I want to remind you who you are.
Yes.
What I'm going to talk to you about is the makeup of a brand. Brand Jesus. Who do you resemble? What does your brand resemble? So Psalms 139. And I want you to just listen to the word of God and be reminded who you are before I begin to share with you my ideas and my concepts of the brand Jesus. Psalms 139:1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Are you hearing me? God has laid his hand upon you. I mean, in such a way that is far greater than you can really believe, that you can really attain. This knowledge is way, way too much for me, God. Then he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Are you reminded of who you are? These are tough times. All of us are suffering in some form or fashion. Whether you have money or you don't have money, whether you have friends, you don't have friends, whether you've lost a loved one, these are very, very tough times. But I want to remind you who you are. It says, so even there your hand will guide me in verse 10. Your right hand will hold me fast. So when you think things are sinking, remember whose hand is there. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How many of you really, really believe it? Even while you were yet formed. See, you've been living in this land, living in this world 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 50 years. And I believe you've forgotten that while you were yet being formed in his womb, he had already ordained your days to be. So I'm going to help you today to see if you're in line with where you think God wants you to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. When we think of the thoughts of God, he says they are far, far too vast for you to even begin to think of what he's thinking of you. I want you to think about it. I want you to look at your neighbor and just think about a thought towards your neighbor. Well, I can't think nothing toward her. But think about what God is thinking about you. Yes. He says his thoughts are too vast. The sum is far too great. Yes. They are like the sands, the grains of sand. You can't even pick up a scoop, a teaspoon of sand and count what's in that. You get tired. You're like, shoot, forget that. It would just be too much for you. And we're talking about a teaspoon, or maybe even a half a teaspoon. Just get it under your fingernail and start thinking about, what is God thinking about me? Far greater than you can imagine. He says, when I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Verse 19. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Now let me tell you why that's important, for you to know who you are. See, that's that one little thing that gets you to start to think about, I can't compromise. Because first of all, God has already said who you are, that I formed you, I knew you, even while you were being knitted in your mother's womb. Then he says, my thoughts about you are so vast, the sum is so great that you cannot even imagine. Then David takes the posture and he starts to say, but wait a minute, my enemies, God, these bloodthirsty men, I hate them. You've got to get to the place where you can understand who the enemies of God is. Who are those enemies? And we're not just talking about people in general. We're talking about the brand. The brand Jesus. Do you know who your enemies are? When you begin to know who the enemies of God are, it's okay to say, I hate the enemy of God. But you must know who they are. In 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is the makeup of a brand. The brand new. Who is the brand new? Do you resemble the brand Jesus? In the book, Woman Act Now, I have some available for you. But I want to talk about Jesus just a little bit. And I needed to remind you of who you are. And it's nothing that you have done. You cannot earn your position as it relates to your identity in God. You had it before you knew who you were. You had it while you were in the dark places of your mother's womb. And guess what? Every one of us were there. And God pronounced on you who you are. But see, the journey in this life is starting to align who we are with who God is. Then he gives us the opportunity to get to know him. So when we talk about Jesus, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that you say you know? it about him that attracts you to this Jesus? Why is it that this same Jesus is a different Jesus in different places of the world? If I go to Seattle, Washington, and I order a, all those names Starbucks has, one of them difficult ones, Macchiato, whatever. You know, something you can't even say. What is it? That too. But do you understand what I'm saying? If I go to Seattle to a Starbucks on a corner and I order that drink, what am I going to get? That drink. If I go to Japan and I order that drink, what am I going to get? Somebody understands the brand. You would be terribly disappointed if you walked into that Seattle Starbucks and you're used to getting your Starbucks right here around the corner, and you walk over there and you order your favorite drink and it's not the same. Do you know it? Yeah, because they get to tell us. If it's not the same, tell us. We will replace it. But what's wrong with brand Jesus? How is it that we can go from one city, one block, and we're serving a different God? And even this Jesus we say we serve, how come we don't look alike? How come we don't act alike? How come we don't demonstrate the character of this Jesus we say we know? Do you understand branding? I know you do. Because branding is a term that has many definitions and is used often in the business of marketing. I want to bring this branding down to the personal level. Now let's talk about brand so I can bring it to you. When I speak of a person, when I say a name, I want you to respond what you think about the name. Oprah. Rich, what else? Successful. Famous. Powerful. You hear the words giver. I heard billionaire. Those are brand qualities about someone. If I say Michael Jordan, he's been he hadn't played basketball for how long? 20 years? At least since the 90s or something, right? We know everybody. Why? Because he has built a brand. When I say Martin Luther King, freedom reigns. Why? The dream. We remember what? The brand. When I say Jesus. Well, it's really a funny thing. It happens the same way everywhere I go when I talk about the brand Jesus. When I say Jesus, everybody get real quiet. When I say M&M, Starburst, Mountain Dew, people start, oh, yeah, Pepsi. No, I like Pepsi. You know, Coke, no, I don't go for that. You know, but when we talk about Jesus, the brand Jesus. See, the qualities of a great brand. See, you know that you've achieved it when there's a consistency of understanding across the board. That we know when we go to McDonald's and we order a Big Mac, we know exactly what we're going to get. They send that Big Mac through the drive-through window and it's missing something. What you gonna do? You don't think twice? What's wrong? What you mean you ain't got no tomato? We ain't got no lettuce either. Didn't you hear? You go, wait a minute, man. Y'all need to do something. Every time I come around here, you running out of stuff. How you going to go to a McDonald's and they ain't got no french fries? You start to have a problem with the brand, right? So at the end of the day, what is brand Jesus to you? See, the more you understand the brand, the more you understand it. And see, all of us, we're walking around and we say we're believers. We say that we're Christians. We say we're Holy Ghost filled. We're wearing the brand. Some of you got some brands on today. Some of us. Some of y'all can recognize a couple of brands I got on. See, if you in the fashion and stuff, you're like, yeah, I know what that is. See, look at him. You know what I mean? You recognize the brand. But who's recognizing your brand? You're quick to wear a label on your... Quick. How can we see Jesus? Let me just brand him right there. Brand Jesus. Brand Jesus. Where that? anybody a clue or something? Look, grand Jesus or something. Wear him across your chest or something. Give a clue because I don't know. You be trying to recognize you, Christian? You got to ask people. Yeah, I thought you said you was a Christian. Ain't this Christians in here? I mean, ain't we supposed to be seeing eye to eye? Come on, I'm going to have to get the t-shirts because I can't identify you. Y'all got y'all stuff from China.
Yeah.
This make-believe brain. But when it comes to Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
So when we talk about the brand Jesus, there are four things that will make up a brand. And I guarantee you, if you begin to think about them, I've seen it, I've been doing this quite a while now, and watching women's lives change because they have embraced the values, the attributes, the promise that they're going to deliver to the world.
Yes.
Do you know when you were born, even identical twins, when they're born, they have different fingerprints, they have different footprints. And when you're born, your fingertips aren't quite as developed as your footprint. And your footprint is different. Everyone, even an identical twin, who has all of the DNA and the makeup, but God thought, you know what? These two things, where her feet will trod, where her hands will touch, I must make them unique.
Wow.
So what about you? What about you? Where has these feet taken a little walk? What have your hands touched? So there are four things that make up a brand. The first thing is the brand value. What do you value? You know, most people say, well, what are your values in life? You've heard that before, right? What are my values? Values are the cornerstone of your life.
Yes.
We believe it's our belief system, but it's really your values. Let me give you an example. Values are based on when we build our value, then we have a belief, and then we have behavior. And see, those three need to align. So if your value is having a relationship with God, and oftentimes our values start there.
That's right.
Our belief system doesn't change. People are born into the world, and they believe, they value this relationship with God. They just hadn't decided which God they're going to serve. Because their belief system has not aligned with the value.
Yes.
So many of you can think back before you knew you were saved.
Yes.
We all have a similar story. A lady was asking me about, well, when did you know you were saved? I said, I always loved God.
Yes.
I said, I always knew that there was a God. I always knew that I was created for something.
Yes.
But when did my belief system, when did I get a belief system that would teach me how to behave in my life? Yes. As long as I just love God, I can do anything.
Yes.
But it's when I take this love of God and align it with the belief that his son Jesus died for me.
Yes.
Now, because he died for me, what is my requirement in life? How am I to behave?
Yes.
How am I to act? I am to behave and to act and demonstrate the character of Jesus.
Yes.
So do you see it?
Yes.
The cornerstone is the value.
Right. Yes.
The belief system is then supported by the value of the relationship with God. Then the behaviors align with those two.
Yeah.
So now if you're telling me that I love God, I love Jesus, but you're behaving in a kind of way, I think we need to go back to what you believe. Because see, we won't be able to change your value of God.
That's right.
But we can shift your belief system.
Yeah.
Let me just share this with you. So I don't want you to think I'm talking about some psychiatrist or something like that, because people talk about that. But God clearly shows us in the Word of God when he's dealing with Paul, when he's dealing with Peter.
Yes.
When Paul was on the road to Damascus,
yes.
What happened to him? He had a shift, guys. He had a shift in his belief system.
Yes.
Because Paul was so, Paul was so excited about serving God. You hear me? He was excited about serving God.
Yes,
he was excited about serving
God.
Yeah.
He was excited about serving God. Right?
Right.
Well, let's talk about how that belief system started to shift.
Yeah.
God was always God.
That's right.
And he loved God. He knew the laws, and he was educated. He was well-learned. He was excited about what? God. The law of God.
Yes.
So he went around, and he's persecuting these people who believe in who?
Jesus.
Come on, talk to me, people. I'm a talk to me kind of girl. Who believed in Jesus.
That's right.
All right, now, so on that road to Damascus,
yeah,
when the Lord got a hold of him, what happened to him? Same God, but when he opened his eyes, he had a different what? Belief. So what happened to his behaviors? What happened to his actions? His actions started changing. He started talking about what? Jesus. So we value God. We value this relationship with our Creator. But what is going on in your belief? Say, help my what? Unbelief. So when we talk about the first thing, when we talk about the makeup of a brand, what do you value? See, Jesus valued his relationship with what? God. He valued it so much that he modeled his values after God. He was sent by God. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, "The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound."
Yes.
That was Jesus' mission. And he valued his purpose. He valued who he was. And he only did what the Father instructed him to do. So see, you have to deliver. You have to know what is the promise. What have you been sent to do?
Yeah.
What is the promise you're going to deliver to the world? When I look at you, what's the promise? What's the promise that by being in your presence, what are you promising to give to me? What would it profit me to know you? So you have the value. What do you value in life? Then you have the brand promise. You remember I said if you go to McDonald's and you come around the drive-thru and you don't have any tomatoes, but you promised me tomatoes, that's what's on the picture.
Yeah.
It's a part of the promise.
That's right.
It's on the picture.
Yeah.
It's a part of the promise. I want you to evaluate today, what are you promising to the world that you're not delivering? Every time you still make the same mistake. Every time you still come up short. Every time you fail on your own word. What promise? What would it profit me to know you? It's the promise, the question you have to ask yourself. To be like Jesus, you've got to understand, you remember your identity. Your identity was established. All you have to do is get it in line with what God says you are.
That's right.
The right hand of God being there to hold you up. Knowing you even before you knew yourself. Ordaining your footsteps before you started to walk. Who are you? And what will you promise to the world? Are you going to deliver on that promise? When people see me, they know what they're going to get. I deliver on the promise. It's important to me. I have three values that I live my life by. The first value, and they're not in any particular order, but the first value I'll share with you is that I want to demonstrate the character and the integrity of God in my life. The personality of Jesus, the personhood of Jesus. How do I do that? I demonstrate it by being kind and loving and practicing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. The next value I have for my life is contributing to the excellence of other people. And I'm telling you, everything I do, from the time I wake up in the morning, I'm looking for the opportunities to contribute.
Yes.
Whether it's on a one-on-one, whether it's in a group,
yes,
whether it's to my husband, to my family, it's an opportunity for me to contribute excellence.
Yes.
What that means to me is I want to be my very best,
yes,
because I want to deliver on the promise.
Yes.
My third, I'm going to be the very, very best wife I can be to my husband, Richmond.
Mm.
And let me tell you something. This value has really just revolutionized my life, liberated my life,
yeah,
to the point I don't keep scores. It doesn't matter to me what he does, because my value is being the very best. So when it's time to have a little bit of conflict, I call it disharmony.
Yeah.
It's all about how you speak to things.
That's right.
So I say when we are a little bit in disharmony, because our objective is to be in harmony.
Yeah.
So when we are in disharmony, what I do, if I evaluate, is this aligning? Are my actions aligning with my values? Why do I believe this? Why is it important for me to love my husband? Why is it important for me to give and to contribute and to be the best I can be for him?
Yeah.
Because I know I want something. I want a joyful, prosperous, encouraging, and empowering relationship,
yeah,
with him. So you know what? We don't argue. 5 years ago, I established these values. 5 years out of a place of pain and suffering.
Mm.
But since then, and he's like, well, I asked him, what's your value? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm the, but because I value this, it has changed our relationship.
Mm.
So the first one is, first of all, it's your brand promise. What do you promise to deliver to the world?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to deliver the brokenhearted,
yeah,
to set us free. What do you promise?
Yeah.
The next one is your brand value. What do you value? That's the simplest way you can answer that question. What's valuable to you? Some of you might have a difficult time. You got some credit cards. Just go look at that.
Yeah.
Look at your statement.
Amen.
You'll start to learn what you value. I need you to go back about 6 months and start looking at those statements.
Yeah.
Look at the ATM statements. Look at, you'll start to see a lot of what you value.
Oh.
And guess what? You can change that today.
Yeah. Yes.
So when we talk about your values, you have to determine, I just told you what I stand for.
Yeah.
What I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
It's highly improbable you're going to ever catch me in a conversation where I'm talking about someone.
Yeah.
Rather than building them up.
Yeah.
Rarely. And if I do, I just went unconscious. It's just not the way I live. Your brand attributes. That's the third thing that makes up a brand. And when we think about that, your attributes are the unique features, characteristics, talents, and abilities that you possess and can convert into meaningful actions or contributions in the lives of others. What were the attributes of Jesus? I'm glad you asked. Jesus spent much of his time on earth developing his disciples and equipping them to go to every part of the world to spread the good news. They were representatives who proliferated and popularized his brand.
Yes.
Now, this is what I call an eternal brand. Jesus has eternal currency. Even today, we're still talking about what? Jesus. Why? Because the brand has continued and continued. We call it an eternal currency. It is still paying dividends. It is giving us salvation. It's giving us victorious life. It brings health and hope and healing to the lives of people. It is still producing. There are some eternal brands that you know of. When I said Martin Luther King, still producing the hope of freedom and liberty for all. When I say Walmart, Sam is already gone, but he was able to do something to allow his brand to what? Continue to what? Produce. See, I brought those people into this so that you wouldn't think this would be too impossible for you.
Yeah.
Well, that's Jesus, and he's the Son of God. Well, naturally, his brand is supposed to be an eternal brand. But what about Sam Walton? What about Martin Luther King? What about Gandhi? What about all of these people that you continue to hear about? What about Socrates?
Yeah.
When we talk about philosophy and understanding, eternal grand.
Yes.
But what about you? Will it be over when we look at your tombstone?
No, no.
Will that be all of you? Your attributes. How will you do what you do? How are you going to take all the talents and the gifts and the opportunities that have been given to you and convert those into meaningful things in your life?
Yeah.
How will you do it? This is our season. 2009 is your year to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
It's your year. This is a year of fruitfulness. If you've been listening to any prophetic word in the body of Christ, you will hear what the economists are saying, but you will hear what the prophets are saying. The prophets are saying this is a season of multiplication. It is not an addition in your life. See, there is addition. There is a difference. The difference of adding two, 1 + 1 = 2. But multiplication is 2 × 2 = 4. You're getting double for your trouble. There is a difference, and you have to understand that this is the season of fruitfulness in your life.
Yeah.
You were born to produce. It's beyond who you are.
Yeah.
You are supposed to be representing brand Jesus. Not you. I write about in this book about young people who go into corporations, and a corporation has established their brand. They establish the way that they want people to look. They put, your image, you know, all of that stuff, their corporate culture. But the young people of today, they want to bring their brand into this brand.
Amen.
And claim their identity in this brand. Now, let me tell you, if I wanted to hire you to show yourself in my thing, then I guess you would be owning this, right? Many of us are like that with Jesus. This isn't about us being having our own identity. It is about us embracing the identity of Jesus Christ. That I kidded, oh yeah, I can't tell who's who. We need some shirts, we need some tags, we need something to say we represent brand Jesus. But not so. We need to see each other.
Yeah.
We need to be able to recognize by the Spirit that, oh yeah, girl, I'm with you.
Yeah.
We got the same thing on.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking the same language.
Yeah.
We're believing the same thing. But we're so busy being what? Different.
Yeah.
You got plenty of places to be different in.
Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah.
But Jesus is calling us home.
Yeah.
Amen.
He wants us to be what? Like him.
Yeah. Okay.
The next one is the brand benefit. And the benefits are related to how and what you do and the resulting positive effect on others. That's the benefit. Now, some of us can leave some benefits that aren't so positive.
Mm.
But if you sell any great product, a marketer must say, what's in it for you?
Yeah.
What's in it for you? Not what's in it for me. You can tell a bad one when they start thinking about how much they love their product and they talk about the way their product works and they have no clue as how it's going to benefit the customer.
Yeah.
So how are you going to benefit others? What will be the benefit of a person being in your presence? This is what I believe life is about. Making an impact. Not on a stage. I'm as impactful in person with a one-on-one because I'm getting right down to it. I ain't got time for all that. We can be laughing and everything, but I want to know what's up in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to know what you were created for. I want to know if you're on the path to get you there. Time is short. And my time is so short, I ain't going to be letting you waste my time. And I'm going to do whatever I can to get you in time to do what you need to do for your time.
Yeah. Oh, bless you,
So what's your grand benefit? We talk about we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have a friend, we don't have... But what is the benefit of being in relationship with you?
Yeah.
What are you bringing to people?
Yeah.
Are they better for having been in your presence?
Yeah.
Are they better? Because if you enter into the presence of Jesus,
yeah.
If you enter in, you cannot help but be what? Better.
Yeah. Whoa, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So when you think about these four principles,
yes.
The makeup of a brand,
yes.
I want you to think about something and spend a little bit of time just thinking about who you are.
Yeah.
Why you were sent here. What are you going to do? How are you going to be impactful? When you look at another person, you don't see the person in the outer shell. You see the soul of a man or a woman. And you want to make your imprint. You want to make that indelible mark upon their heart.
Yeah.
That when times are this or that, that they can have something to remember the presence. You know, all of my life, when I think about God, and I think about the moments and the times that he was most prevalent in my life, it was through a person. I can always go, but just like I shared about Pastor, I don't take that lightly, that this man is in a certain place at a certain time, that he was a connection to my destiny.
Yeah.
That's showing God to me.
Yeah.
And that whatever he was thinking, whatever God was doing,
yeah.
That he was depositing in him, to start to think about, oh, well, yeah, I bet you I can just see him. Yeah, that's somebody I think you need to meet.
Mm.
And that was my mentor.
Yeah.
My mentors met my husband 9 months before I met him.
Yeah.
And they knew that he was my husband.
Yeah.
I was like, shoot, bring him on.
Right.
But they introduced him at the appropriate what? Time.
Oh, bless him.
So when I think about the makeup of a brand,
yeah.
It consists of these four things.
Yeah.
Your brand promise.
Mm-hmm.
What will you promise to deliver to the world?
Yeah.
What will you promise to deliver? Your brand value.
Yeah.
How valuable are you? What do you value? How valuable will you become in the eyes of others? Not because of what you do, but because of what you give.
Yeah.
Your brand attributes. What are your unique abilities, talents, and opportunities that you're able to convert into meaningful things that matter? Your attributes. And then finally, what is your brand benefit? What would be the benefit of me knowing you? So I'm going to leave you with this. My personal mission statement, which makes up all four of these areas, is I am an advocate for the righteousness of a living God, proclaiming the gospel to all I meet so that they may accomplish their God-given purpose. Now I'm going to break it down so that you go back, you think about these four things. My brand promise, who am I? I plead the cause of another. I seek opportunities to help others. I am an advocate. My brand value, what are my values? I value righteousness in living a lifestyle that reflects the character and the nature of God.
Yes.
So a part of my mission statement is for the righteousness of a living God. My brand attribute, how do I do what I say I am? I preach, I teach, I write, and communicate positive, uplifting messages while holding individuals accountable to reaching levels of excellence in self-knowledge, proclaiming the gospel to all I meet. My fourth is my brand benefit. How will others benefit from knowing me and my brand? I am focused on giving others my best, in being in the moment as I speak and take action for transformation in their lives, empowering them to identify, achieve, and excel in their purposes, that they may accomplish their God-given purpose. So think about that today.
Yeah.
When you walk out and go to Denny's, because I know it's right over there, have your little breakfast, think about what's your brand promise? What's your brand value?
Yeah.
What's your brand attribute? And what is your brand benefit? And then I want you to see and ask yourself, how much do I resemble Jesus?
Yes.
God bless you.
Amen.
That's his holy name. Come on, let's give another praise offering. Amen. Anna McCoy. Everyone standing, if you will, please. Hallelujah. The brand Jesus. Wow.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Stop. Listen, it's the Real McCoy Show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy! Stop! Listen, it's the Real McCoy Show. Stop! Listen, it's the Real McCoy Show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show. Hurry,
who's
come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show.
Anna!
The Real McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show.
Author, bridge builder, motivational speaker, Mr. Richmond S. McCoy is an accomplished, nationally recognized entrepreneur and real estate executive. With over 24 years of diverse real estate transaction and investment experience, he has consummated more than $1.4 billion in real estate transactions. Mr. McCoy, through his community development efforts, created over 1,500 jobs for members of low to moderate income communities. He is the recipient of several noteworthy awards, including the National Brotherhood and Sisterhood Award, awarded by the National Conference of Christian and Jews Real Estate and Construction Industry Group. Voted Supplier of the Year by J.P. Morgan Chase, honored as Business Executive of the Year by Urban Bankers Coalition, awarded Outstanding Achievement in Business by 100 Black Men Incorporated. Mr. McCoy is an honorary doctorate recipient from Destiny Bible College.
Jakes this morning, and to Bishop Jakes, I consider it an honor and a privilege to be here. I was scheduled to be here about a month ago, and something came up. Has that ever happened to you? Something come up. And I had to decline, but the Lord opened the door that I could come back. In fact, at lunch, Lady Jakes mentioned to my wife that I had stood her up. And I thought, uh-oh, I gotta fix that. And then, of course, the Lord created an opportunity for me to be here today. And I'm delighted to be here today. We have the goods for you. My life's work is generational wealth. See, God looks at us on a generational basis. He deals with us in our bloodline of our families. And that's what I'm going to be speaking to you about. And God is looking for a generation that will actually move and be obedient to Him, so He can release to us, to our bloodline, the generational wealth that He has for us. Are you ready to receive it?
Yes.
It takes some work. It takes a commitment. It takes a change of life. And that's what I'm going to speak to you about today. I'm thrilled to be here today with my lovely wife, Anna. And she is looking good. She's looking really sharp today, and she just come off a fast. We were down ministering at Bishop Long's church about a month ago, and Anna went back and ministered on her own, and during that time they announced a fast, a 21-day fast, and my friend got caught up in the spirit and got into the fast. She lost 15 pounds. I saw Bishop Long. I said, thank you for giving me my teenage wife back. And she looked so good. And we've been very busy. We've recently moved in New York City into a new condominium. We were living in Manhattan. We live in two homes. We live in New York and also here in Dallas. And depending on what's happening in our life, that's where we are. I've been spending a lot of time in New York over the last few months raising $300 million in equity for our next real estate fund. That's my day job is what I do. So I've been there a lot. I haven't been able to be here in the house of worship, but I've been connected. But I'll give you something that crossed my mind, a peace of mind. See, God is looking for an obedient person. He's looking for honorable people, and I've worked very hard to live that life, and I spent a lot of time in New York alone. Now, that might be a challenge for some men in some areas, but I've been able to control my flesh in all those areas, and I'm an honorable husband. And it occurred to me as my wife was coming to help me pack, because I'm a terrible packer. I'm good at making money and doing business, but anything physical, keep me away from it. It's not my anointing. So my friend said, she's going to come and pack. But I'll tell you the peace of mind that I had with my wife coming into our apartment in New York. I didn't have to worry about hiding any underwear. I didn't have to worry about another woman's hair or another woman's brush that might have been there. That peace of mind. See, in order for the Lord to move in your life, you have to have peace of mind. In order to have the Lord show up an anointing in your life and what you're doing, you must be prepared for all things at all times. And this whole area of financial responsibility and being blessed in life and this issue of generational wealth is a lot about preparation, being prepared and getting yourself into a position to move forward. Much of what we're going to teach you about today is in this book that we've written, Building Generational Wealth, and that's out here available to you. It's only $20. Also, my wife and I, one of the biggest tragedies that we've seen in the African-American community, and I'm a victim of it, is that many of us don't prepare financially for the next generation simply by buying insurance. My father was incredibly wealthy for his age group. He passed away in 1973 when he was 73 years old. My father had 10 children. I was number 9. Had me when he was 60. Praise God. So there's hope to a thing. All right? My father was an entrepreneur with a sixth grade education, accumulated a lot of wealth in his life, but no one had taught him the techniques and the concepts of passing on generational wealth. So he refused to buy insurance. He refused to create a will. So when he passed away, the estate was worth over $1 million, and there's something called estate taxes. Has anyone heard of that? The IRS has something called estate taxes where they come in and they claim 40% of the entire portfolio, and they want to get paid now. That means whatever's in place has to be liquidated, has to be cashed out. So my mom didn't have the business experience. At 56 years old, most of you women will be widowed. This is the reality. These are the facts. Okay? So my mom was in that situation. She didn't know how to deal with the real estate. She didn't know how to deal with the businesses. And within 5 years, we went to public housing. Now, being in public housing isn't the end of the day, but I'm here to tell you that generational wealth, the fiscal part of generational wealth was not passed on to me. But some of the other aspects of generational wealth were. And that's what I'm going to speak to you about today. You have a piece of paper?
Okay.
Let me take you through this very quickly. We have an obligation to turn our hearts to our sons and daughters and pass on to them what we've learned. Our generation is the first generation that at least has had access to capital. The average income in the United States is $44,000. The average savings in the African-American community is $750 a year. That's the disconnect. And when people think of generational wealth, and they think of the money and the prosperity aspect of it, and your mind may be going here, it's these areas. It's stocks, it's real estate, cash, it's jewelry, artwork, businesses, relationships, and indeed peace of mind. These are the manifestations of generational wealth. I implore you I do not suggest to you. I implore you to recognize that these are fruit of the following: integrity, vision, generosity, a heart of service, of love, of character, a passion for what you do. Teach our children passion for what they do. Whatever they do, do it with passion. The Lord will anoint passion. Wisdom, diligence, diligence in all that you do. Focus is a generational characteristic we can pass on to our children, the ability to focus, to be people of obedience, to be obedient to God and His laws and His instructions in our life, to be obedient in a family structure, to be obedient in our jobs, to be obedient in all these things. Today, what I'm going to spend my time is in teaching you some factual aspects of finance and these issues of generational wealth. Then I'm going to take part of the time and then I'm going to minister to you about the spirit of getting generational wealth, to be able to walk in the favor of the Lord so He can release to us what we want. Some of the other characteristics that are passed on are leadership, forgiveness, and faith. Those characteristics practiced consistently will absolutely produce the physical manifestation of generational wealth that we can move forward with. And God is looking for us to do that. You see, we're really predestined to win in life, aren't we? We're predestined. Jesus Christ is already in us. My wife and I just moved to New Jersey, and we moved out of Manhattan, so we had to get a car. So we went to look for a car, and we believe in buying pre-owned cars. But you know, one of the things you have to look out for, ladies, when you start spending money, you ever get that buying spirit on you? Do that spirit come up on you? You start taking that money out of your pocket, you make one investment, you make another one, it all comes on you. Next thing you know, you're buying. Does that ever happen? Well, it happened to me. We bought this condominium in New Jersey, and I said, well, friend, now I can get a nice car because it's got a garage, and I can get it. And a friend of mine said that he had just gotten a lease on a brand-new Mercedes, only $1,000 a month. And $1,000 a month is $500 a month less than the auto allowance I get for my job. They give me $1,500 a month for auto allowance. So I said, well, I deserve a nice new car. So I went up to that dealer, and I said, yeah, I want to lease that car. Give me that brand-new car. It was a $90,000 Mercedes. And this car was incredible. It was my dream car. It talked to me and everything, you know. And I want to get the car, and then something came over me. Riding around it at the end of the year, we go out and teach Jabez and promoting financial responsibility. And after 39 months of paying $1,000 a month, that's $40,000 gone down the tube. And I came to myself. I came back to myself. I said, I don't need to do this. And I said, no, I ain't going to lease nothing. I'm going to buy the car. We got good credit. We'll have to buy the car. So during the course of the sale, the gentleman wasn't moving too quick, and we were moving for the furniture and all this stuff, and the man said, well, come back tomorrow. And I called him, and he was going on a trip, and I was going to buy the new car, and I made up my mind. Then my friend got hold to me. Friend, what's wrong with you? Why in the world would you spend $90,000 on a new car? You've never talked like that. You've never bought a new car like that. What's wrong with you? You can get a pre-owned car, the exact same car, for $40,000 less. Friend. And my friend broke through. That buying spirit come up off of me. She broke me down, and I knew when she did because I could feel the bondage come off of me. Then my friend took the next step. Because she went on the internet. She says, you go to sleep, sweetie. She's down here. You go to sleep. Because she was preaching last week at the Daystar conference. Did anyone see my friend there? Oh, my God. She was awesome. Off the hook. Releasing people from bondage. That's another subject when she was talking about it. But it's real. And if anyone saw it, everything she said was true. Because she used some of our own personal experience. My friend always does that, Sarita. You know, it's like nothing's a secret. But the point I want to make is she went on the internet and she found the exact same car that was 4 years older for $40,000 less. And we now own it. Praise God. We are predestined to win. And this car has a card, a little black computer car. And you walk up to that car and stand next to it and the door opens. You stand next to Jesus, the door opens. Ha! You, You sit down in that seat, and there's this little button there that says start engine. Holy Ghost says push button, start engine. Get moving. Push the button, the car goes on. And then it has a GPS in it, and the woman speaks to you. You put in there about where you want to go. You put the code in there. It's like the Holy Ghost tells us where you want to go. See, the Lord speaks to us in three ways. Through people, through circumstances, and through our dreams. That's how the Lord communicates with us. Now, the GPS is a voice attached to it. So you put in the directions about where we want to go. And they give you how long it's going to take, how many miles. You want to go the superhighway, or you want to go the back roads? And we all know the back roads is where the pain and suffering is, right? And the Lord laid it out clear which way to go and how to handle ourselves, yes? There's no doubt in it. There's no transparencies in it. It's very clear. So you put in directions, and she tells you to go down here 10 miles and go that. Now, if you make a turn the wrong way, she says, turn around. You keep going, please turn around. Go back the other way. I'm going to relate this all back to your finance in a minute. Come back around. Come back around. And then when you get halfway there, if you want to stop, there's an intermediate destination where you can stop. And this is how we have to live our life. We have to make plans and lay it out to where we want to get there. And then when you get to the end of this trip, a victory flag comes up. Praise God. It's the neatest thing. Now, one of the things that happened with this car, when I was going through the GPS, and I'm not technically very, very swift, but I was able to get up in there, I realized that there were some other destinations that were pre-programmed in that car. Why? Because it was pre-owned. See, many of us come into life with predestinations and concepts that we've been given about money, about God, about tithing, but how to act in life that are false. But if you hear them long enough, guess what? You think they're true. You're running around living a life that's false. It will never produce any fruit because you're dealing with a lie. In the second part of my talk today, I'm going to really get into tithing because I have such a passion about that. I have such a burden on my heart for the Lord, for God's people to prosper and to live the empowered life that He wants us to live. And this area of tithing is so important in that. And the Lord has done just an incredible thing in our life with tithing. So I'm going to come back to that. So get ready. Okay? So I'm going to back off of that a minute. And I'm going to talk to you about your word and how your word is your currency. A good friend of mine, Kenny Lewis, just came back from the UK. He went over to Bishop Jake's conference over there. And it was a phenomenal success. And Bishop preached out of Deuteronomy 1 and has a 1,000-fold increase in all that we want to do. And it was a tremendous blessing for everyone who was there. But Kenny was sharing with me that he went over there and that his room cost him $700 a night for like a Westin quality hotel. Not a top hotel, but $700 a night. And the reason for that is that the U.S. dollar is devalued. See, the dollar in the U.K. now is worth only 70 cents. Okay, because of the exchange rate. So I ask you, what is your exchange rate? What is your exchange rate in life? What does it cost you to conduct business? I'm going to tie it back to your word. Your word is your currency. It reflects in your cost of living and of doing business in life. It affects every area of your life. So Kenny was telling me, he says, Richmond, everything was so expensive over there, he had to come back and do some more real estate deals just to pay for the trip. But one of the things I meant to talk to you about was, so I was talking about the insurance. One of the things that Anna and I have done, we operate in corporate America. We've gone to AIG, which is the largest insurance company in the world, and negotiated extremely favorable terms for our people where you can get term insurance for $100 to $200 a year. $100,000 worth of insurance. Even if you have health challenges, you have to get it. My dad didn't do that. He left all of us at bay. What my dad did do, the first part of that page I was teaching about generational wealth, he put all that in me, and all those character traits he put in me in terms of integrity and passion and vision.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.